Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. And by iBeCool athleisure wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. Happy to welcome in a longtime favorite on the LPGA Tour, a person I've been following for a very long time, Christina Kim, veteran tour player, two-time Solheim Cup winner, five worldwide titles.
Anne, thank you so much for having me. I am super excited to be talking golf with you.
Well, it's always great to catch up with you, and you are in town to play in the KPMG Women's PGA Championship at none other than historic Baltusrol. What a historic venue, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is a tournament that is steeped in history, having hosted many men's major championships in the past. So to have the women finally at a venue of this caliber is just so, so thrilling.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's an A.W. Tillinghast Classic refurbished by Gil Hanse. And boy, they've hosted so many major championships, but this is the first women's PGA championship. So it's good to see that women are starting to play some of these more prestigious venues, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think that there's so much, women's golf has just exploded in the last several years and golf in general as well. So, you know, having a company like KPMG who has been associated with the LPGA Tour for a number of years, coming on as the main sponsor of the KPMG Women's PGA Championship and the PGA of America as well, taking part in this tournament and hosting this event is just, I think it's necessary, it's imperative. It is always something that has been near and dear to my heart. And I feel like just in terms of the timing of where we are in this world, it was going to be an inevitable. So I am just so thrilled to be able to say that I'm, you know, partaking in something that is, you know, historical. The first time the women are playing Baltusrol.
Now, have you played Baltusrol before, Christina?
I have. I played it many, many years ago, one time before, prior to the most recent renovations. And it is just such a spectacular, classic, quintessential Tillinghast design. And it is just absolutely breathtaking.
And what are your memories of playing it? It might have been a while ago, but what do you remember about the course?
That it's hard.
Exactly.
It's hard. It is beautiful. It is everything that you would want from a major championship venue. It's a big course. It is demanding. It never gives you an inch. You have to go out there and earn every single stroke, every single shot. And it is that's one of the reasons why the majors are some of the most coveted events. There's no such thing as an easy major in professional golf.
Never. Not for the women, not for the men. And, you know, speaking of prestigious venues, I know the U.S. Women's Open will be at Pebble Beach this July, and they're going to Erin Hills in the future, Oakmont, back to Pinehurst number two, the LA Country Club for the Women's U.S. Open in 2032. So, yeah, I mean, it is about time that, you know, you all get to play at these prestigious golf courses. And it's great to see you all at Baltusrol this week. So this is your 21st year on the LPGA Tour. You're 39 years old. What keeps you going, Christina?
Love for the game, a constant sense of curiosity, I should say. I love everything about the game of golf, whether it's the competition, whether it is learning new things about me as a golfer, you know, knowing that when I've got my back against the wall, it is make or break. And, you know, the camaraderie is a huge part of it as well. We have such an unbelievable cast of characters on the LPGA Tour. We have my entire career. And just seeing the way that golf has evolved in the last, you know, 21 years, but also in the last several years with, you know, there's always a new crop of young incredible women that are coming out to play professionally. The excitement of the game has never been higher, in my opinion. And I mean, I could go on and on. Like, I love playing golf. Why the hell wouldn't I want to be out here?
That's right. That's right. And you know, you joined the LPGA back in 2003. Annika Sörenstam was dominating the LPGA tour during those years, if I remember correctly, right? And so what are your memories about her during those early years in your professional career in the LPGA? And then I wanted to really see what your thoughts are about the women winning tournaments today and how would you compare them to Annika in her prime?
Well, when I first got my LPGA tour card, it was, it was like the, it was a trio. It was Annika, obviously, like you had said. Sari Park was such a huge influence on golf in a global sense. And Kari Webb, like the three of them were the big three. And so it was always so fascinating and so incredible to watch the three of them battling it out. I got two wins while Annika was still competing on the LPGA tour. So those are, two really cool things that I, I'm very, very proud to say that I was able to do and have tournament victories in the same era as Annika Sörenstam, Sari Park, and Kari Webb. And, it's, I don't compare. I don't think it does anyone any good to sit there and compare the differences between how golf was played back then, quote unquote, versus how it's played now. It's just like all of us as individuals, the older that we get, we continually morph and evolve, and the game itself doesn't necessarily change, but the equipment changes. And I can definitely say that Annika was one of the biggest influences when it came to the need and the understanding of changes to technology, changes to nutrition, to exercise, and the athleticism required to the game of golf, that is just part of the everyday staple of women's golf these days.
Right. And it's just as you get older, it's tougher and tougher to make cuts, right? But it looks like you've learned how to better deal with the ups and downs of making a living on the tour.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know how to answer that. I mean, it was hard back then making cuts. It's hard right now making cuts. It's the golf is as demanding as it's ever been, in terms of the scores and competition and everything else. It is, again, a game that is, the game itself never changes. It's the individuals that change, and the technology to the equipment. And the evolutions of golf courses themselves, every golf course is a day older as the days go by. So for me, it has just been, again, a continual love of the game, that constant curiosity. And, when you have your back against the wall, you see what you're really made of. It doesn't, I don't, I'm not a, again, I'm not a fan of comparing things. So I just sit there and say, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try and make as many birdies as I possibly can, and see where the chips fall.
Well, I remember talking to Padraig Harrington about just changes that he made. I mean, he's been on tour for a long time. I know he's playing in some senior events as well as PGA Tour events. But I mean, what changes did you have to make physically and mentally just to be better, to basically maintain and thrive on the tour for over 20 years?
Well, I don't know if I would say that these are changes I quote unquote had to make. These were ch I have gone on, I've had a couple, I always say that I've had skinny years. I've had a couple of skinny years, and then a lot of other times I'm just a horker, and that's just who I am. I, around the pandemic, did go by way of the ketogenic lifestyle. I'm not a fan of using the word diet. I just, it's a word that I think has been just steeped in negativity. And so I did, I have in the last few years lost, I lost at the height of it, I think it was 60 pounds. And yeah, working out, I've always been very active. But for me, the reason behind going with keto is I was mentally exhausted, physically exhausted, and emotionally exhausted. And so I wanted to see if changing the foods I consumed, because clearly understanding that carbohydrates are not something that my body does process well. Pretty much everything that is a net carb is pro-inflammatory for me personally. And the understanding that, you know, the brain is a globular organ. It is not a muscle and is comprised of 60% fat. So, you know, when you're sitting there and, you know, I'm chowing down on some walnuts, macadamia nuts, avocados, healthy fats like that, I'm in essence telling myself that I'm giving myself brain food. And so I feel like emotionally it has been so much better for me to stay away from carbohydrates. And for me, it has been just so great to know that I am obviously nourishing my body, but I'm also feeding my brain and having that cognitive ability. You know, as we're all getting older, you know, I realize how much more mental this game is than anything else. And so I have to maintain a sense of happiness, my joy, living and choosing peace, and also just I don't know, just finding ways to enjoy the small things and finding something every single day that gives me a sense of awe.
I love that. So see, we get wiser as we get older, right?
I don't know about that, but I just know what I need.
Well, changing topics here for a second. I know you're a human rights advocate, and I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on, you know, this story that really has dominated not only the golf news, but the sporting news in the last couple of weeks. And that's that, you know, the controversial partnership between the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the Saudi Public Investment Fund. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, because of everything that's taken place in the last 18 months, I don't feel like my current opinion and position has changed, which is this is not something that I personally support. But there is nuance to everything. There is more and more information. There is time to reflect on things. And two things that I've come to realize, three things really. One, the reality is everyone has a price. Sounds ugly, sounds gross. It is a reality, as is clearly evident by way of some of the actions that have been taken in the last 18 months. Secondly, you know, I feel like while yes, in many ways, the United States is at the forefront when it comes to global trends and thoughts and emotions and things like that, I think it is very, very unexpected, not ignorant in that sense, but it is sort of that quote unquote, you know, you talk to a lot of people from outside of the US, that quote unquote American view that what we say is the right thing to do. You know, you talk to someone that's from Sweden, you talk to someone that is from parts of Asia, they do not have a 9/11. And so for us to sit here and assume that every other country is going to have the same viewpoint when it comes to, you know, global economies about Saudi Arabia the way that we do is very short-sighted of us. And thirdly, you know, the reality is you want to sit and talk about these things, look at where the British Empire was 450 years ago. They were the most reviled people on the planet. And we fast forward to present day, they're the eighth largest economy in the world. Now, does that mean that what is taking place right now is good? Personally, I do not believe so. I think that transparency and honesty would be imperative, because this has nothing to do with growing the game. This is all about world dominance and no longer having a reliance on oil the way that the reliance was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And it's all about filling your coffers. And so if that was stated, don't think I would be able to sit here and say I would respect the decision more. I would probably just disrespect it less. But this is something that is not a choice that I had to make. So at the end of the day, my opinion means absolutely nothing because I am not involved in this.
Well, Tom Watson wrote an open letter to PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan asking for explanation and answers about the merger, calling out the hypocrisy of the PGA Tour taking Saudi money and from the country who had a role in the 9/11 terrorist attacks. I personally am glad that Tom Watson called him out. It might not affect you or me personally, this merger, it is golf and it is our country here in the United States. And it is, Saudi Arabia wanting basically to control golf in our country. So,
They don't want to control golf. They want to control the world. This is just a one tiny sector in what their overall plan is, in my opinion.
yeah, well, that's even scarier to me. So, so anyway, I'm completely opposed to this merger. And the other point is, nobody knows anything because the PGA Tour is not really telling. I don't even think they know what, a lot. So they can't even tell their constituency, the players, and that's why I think Tom Watson basically writing them in this open letter is a good thing. Who knows what answers will come out of this open letter from Tom, but we need to know something, right? I mean, I just think everybody is owed in our game, whether you're a player, whether you're a fan, whether you're the media, whether you're a volunteer, whether you're a sponsor, we basically, they should be much more transparent, the PGA Tour, and we should at least, they should clue us in on what they're trying to do, I believe.
Well, there is a large part of me that does agree with everything that you say. I have served two separate terms on the LPGA Tour's board of directors, and there, like you had said, I don't know how much the PGA Tour knows. I don't know how much the PIF knows. These are at present, this is just a way to stop the infighting. And I think that, there were a couple of options that could have been taken. Nobody was wanting to budge. Again, just because I don't agree with what the decision was by having this partnership that, again, none of they just said we're come to an agreement that we're going to have a partnership. I would be very, very surprised if they have anything written out. If they have an actual plan, they're just right now just trying to put out the fire. They're not at this point in time trying to figure out how are we going to go and replant the 10,000 acres of trees that have been burning because of this quote unquote war between these two organizations. Three, if you include the DP World Tour, who is also a huge part in this as well. I think that, if we went back 20 years and something similar happened where there were two parties that were in a very contentious time and place, we wouldn't know about anything until all the facts were sorted out and ironed out. We live in a world now where everyone automatically assumes that they have the right to know anything and everything at every given moment, whereas these are very complicated issues. But I do believe that what Mr. Watson had stated about the hypocrisy is very valid and very fair. That at the same time, you may want to all go and look into every single corporation that you, whether it's someone that you bank with, whether it is a rideshare app that you partake in. If you're going to sit here and say that you're not going to deal with Saudi money, you better make sure you have your own vehicle and you're not going on these rideshare apps. You better take all of your money out of your bank and stuff it under a mattress. I'm not here condoning or forgiving or anything like that. The longer that this has been going on, the more I've realized we have over 40% of US corporations have ties to money from Saudi Arabia, which is a terrifying notion, that a lot of people still don't realize.
You're right. You're absolutely right. They have interest in so many American corporations. I read some of those on the show last week. based on a little bit of the research I did, but say the Saudi PIF approached the LPGA to try to invest heavily with controlling interest in the LPGA. How would you feel about that?
My initial thought is absolutely not. This is not something that I have any interest in being involved in. Two, again, like I said several minutes ago, everybody has a price. I don't know if my price could actually be met, because you can't really go back in time and undo atrocities. Three, at the very, very least, if what, because again, there is always that argument as well of when it comes to something, whether it's political, opposing political thoughts and beliefs, sometimes you have to meet people where they are at the same time. And you can't just sit there and say, no, you're bad, and be done with it, because there needs to be a level of grace and compassion in order for change to actually take place. And it can't just be empty words. Actions have to be taken, and people have to also have faith in those changes taking place. So at the very least, you know, it would be one of those things where it's like, we're going to call your bluff. You say you want to have women be equal to men. You want to make sure that women are given enough rights, this, that, whatever. Okay, whatever you're putting into the men's game, you're going to have to give the same number to us, because we know that's not something that's going to actually happen. Society just does not allow for that. Doesn't matter what country you're in. Look at what's going on in America.
Good point.
You know, when it comes to just the view of society of women in as a whole, it doesn't matter what country you're in. So I think that it's a little bit short-sighted to just sit here and say that it would be strictly Saudi Arabia that if we said that to, they would balk at. Look at our own backyard. It's a sad, scary truth.
Right.
And obviously change is happening, but in order for change to happen, it needs to happen slowly.
The human rights atrocities in Saudi Arabia are documented and just pathetic, right? I understand what you're saying about how women are treated in our country, because there is a general lack of respect overall, stereotypical, toward women. I agree with you about, we do have our own issues about, you know, equality in this country, but certainly we live in a free country here in the United States, and the horrors that we read about that are going on against women and others in Saudi Arabia are just
beyond atrocious. Crazy. Absolutely. But
yeah.
Again, you go back, look at where the British Empire was 450 years ago, stealing countries.
Right.
Like the world is complicated.
We're talking about, you know, this year, 2023, and
yes, but don't you think it's difficult to sit here and there's a reason why there are countries that were formerly part of the British Empire that absolutely loathe the United Kingdom to this day because of what has happened to them and their people and everything. Like, every single person's experience and life matters, whether or not it was 450 years ago, or whether it was, you know, Jamal Khashoggi, who was slaughtered and butchered and dismembered. And any human life that has been, you know, ripped away from having, you know, the ability to live their life, you know, once you're born, is, you know, we can't sit here and say, yes, but, you know, we can't diminish what happened 450 years ago.
Right. We're not diminishing that, certainly. Yes, we're talking about, obviously, currently what's going on in our world and with this controversial merger. And,
right.
You know, it's just a tough issue. I hear what you're saying. I mean, you know, there's people saying, oh, well, you know, we buy all that Saudi oil. They're making so much money off of us. And Saudi's involved in all these companies. I even read Disney. They invest in Disney World and, you know, Bank of America and Federal Express. And those are just a few that I read. So, yeah, I mean, look, everybody has their own opinion, but bottom line is, when you live in New York, I live in New York, and I know you're, mm-hmm. I don't know if you're in Florida now, but the New Yorkers who lived through 9/11, and for those who lost loved ones and family and relatives, and have friends who lost family and relatives in 9/11, it's hard to think that, wow, this great sport of golf, this sport that we love, is now going to be controlled financially by Saudi money and by the kingdom, the Saudi kingdom.
Of course.
So yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow.
I agree completely. But how does that differ at all from those corporations that you named? Do you ship stuff out? Do you use these? It's messed up in all of these aspects, is what I'm saying.
That's right.
It goes beyond just golf.
It's not just golf. So, all right, let's move on to a lighter topic because we're running out of time. PXG. I know you're part of that company. They've had some pretty exciting women's golf initiatives. Tell us about them.
Yeah, absolutely. I, recently in the last several weeks, was very fortunate enough to be able to participate in the PXG Women's Golf Day, where I went to Scottsdale National and got to play with all of the women that work for all sectors of PXG, whether it is, which is Parsons Extreme Golf, whether it is, at the golf club level, or whether it is with apparel. All the women got the day off, paid time off, to go out and play golf or go putt-putt or just do something that is involved with the game. Go and get a lesson, whatever it is. And it's something that both Dr. Bob Parsons and Renee Parsons are really, really passionate about. And so I was able to go down to Scottsdale National, play nine holes in a scramble with every single group that was out there. And I was there on a panel with Renee Parsons, and it was just really, really awesome to just be able to be in a setting with such incredible, strong, passionate women, and women that some that had never actually touched a golf club before and were provided a day to dip their toe into golf and have a safe place where there were no judging eyes or anything like that. And we can just sit there and talk about the things that are going on in our lives just as women and as women in golf. And I just think that it's just something that is so, so important. It was a third annual event that Renee Parsons had heralded, and I'm just so excited to see where it's going to go in the future.
Such a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate your insight and your opinions on all those issues that, yes, have been so distracting. Concentrate on golf, have fun, and we'll be following you, wishing you all the best. Christina Kim, thanks for being on Talking Golf.
And thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure to be able to be talking golf with you.
Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. And by iBeCool athleisure wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. ibkul.com.